Hello, everybody. Welcome to the third episode of Pre-Order Power Hour. We're so happy to have you here. We got a little new setup going on, a little more professional setup.
Upgrade.
Yeah. Dun,
dun, dun, so it's great to see you guys. We're going to be talking about some new books. We're going to start off by talking, you know, we've been doing the books we've been reading, but we're also going to expand this to books and other media we've been indulging in, so we have an excuse to talk about X-Men 97 mainly.
Basically. Oh,
yeah. Absolutely.
Don't do it, man.
Hold it in, Funky.
So, does anybody want to, like, start off?
I hate it.
I don't know. I mean,
it's just been, I guess, as someone who hasn't watched the original show or has only seen a few episodes coming into this new adaptation, I was a little like, I'll just check it out. You know, the animation seems cool from the trailer. And each episode, I have been continuously blown away by not only the production aspects, but also just the story as a whole. Yeah, it's been fantastic. I mean, it's only gotten better.
Yeah, I hadn't seen the original show either, but I watched like a longer recap of it.
He actually did the research.
And I'm in too deep.
If you're in too deep, then you're going to go back and come rent my freaking DVDs of all of the rest of the series and watch all of them. So as someone who grew up with the show and watched that shit on Saturday mornings religiously and actually ingested all of the original media as a child, as it was meant to be, it felt like coming home. It felt like, I mean, I watched the first episode and I watched with my husband who hadn't watched the original series.
Ooh,
and I was just
nice.
Like, it's where's my cereal?
I felt the exact same way. I'm like, I need a bowl of cereal. Like, no justice can be done if I don't have my cereal.
I had to make pancakes, man.
Do the ritual.
Yeah.
I was lucky. I was on vacation when the first two dropped. So I was like, yes, I could just go and like Wednesday morning have a breakfast and like sit.
It feels good just being able to like wait for something like every week and just like looking forward to the new episode dropping. Like it's been a
nice
long time.
It's nice to anticipate a show. It's been a while since a show came out where you actually have to anticipate it. I have a very limited time to watch TV like you guys do. And so it's really nice to, I'm always late to everything. The boys tease me all the time because I'm like, oh, I just watched this thing. And they're like, gee, that was like 8 months ago. But it feels like coming home. It feels like they just picked it up exactly right where it started or right where it left off. And it started off with the same amount of intensity. As soon as Storm showed up and used her voice, I was like, oh, they're keeping it. They're keeping on. They're keeping it. They're keeping everything. And so that was really, really cool.
Yeah, and it was just like an upgrade too. Kept everything, but like the writing's been solid. The animation is super polished.
When the animation.
The team.
Yeah.
I was like super confident because I know some of the people on the team and like know of the work they've done. Mm-hmm. So it was like cool. Like Jake being like one of the leads. He did the Batman Ninja Turtles movie.
That was a really dope movie, by the way.
And, you know, he did.
Yeah, the choreography was spot on.
He did the what's it called, the Return of the Supermans, the Man's.
That one was cool too. That one was tight.
And a few other things. He was like a lead for a number of things. You know, Chase Connolly, he's a great storyboard artist for like action sequences. So right away, when he's the lead for action sequences, I was like, oh, these fight scenes are gonna be outrageous.
Yeah,
dude,
and they are.
My
they
favorite thing. My favorite thing so far is facial expressions. The character, like the just how animation has transformed in the last like 20 years or however long it's been since the show's on. The Jubilee talking, doing a close up, and just seeing her facial expressions and being like, oh, that's just how I imagine it when I read the comic books. And the thing that I loved about the show when I was a kid, because I was into comics when I was a kid and immersed in comics as a kid, and so it's really tangible in the cartoon that you can go and pick up the storyline and be like, oh, this is that Claremont run where this and this and this happens. And I would, you know, go and look into the comics and be like, oh, this is the one from the show. And so I think that to me, when I was watching it as a kid, it was so exciting because not only was it accessible, but it was really comprehensive. The original show covered a ton of stuff. There's Apocalypse and Mr. Sinister and Omega Red and like all these major storylines from when I was a kid that were put into the show that made you want to go and look at the comic books. And I think that this is what is so exciting about the new show is like, you know, you want to see the trial of Magneto. You want to go to the hideout and go through our bins and find out that what happened and see it for when it really happened. And so... there's a lot of nuance too, right? There's a lot of like hinting at different relationships and stuff. And for me, as a big X-Men fan, like X-Men's always been my favorite comic. The most cool part about it is a soap opera. Everyone is super into each other, and there's so much interpersonal drama. Anytime you have a team book, you know, there's always, it's like having a band. There's always some crazy shit happening, and people always have hurt feelings, and people always have to be the leader and get shit done. And then there's also crazy sentinels that are trying to murder everybody.
Yeah, no, so, exactly. Like, just going into the X-Men in general, I had a friend who was streaming, and she was just like, hey, you know, talk about the X-Men. I'm like, I'm going to need a six-pack, and then I'll just walk you through the entirety of it. Just give you a cork board of everything.
Dude, we used to joke about that when I was here. Back in the days when I was here all of the time, we used to say that we wanted to do X-Men history, drunk history with Glennis. Like, drunk X-Men history, really where I would just go through all the storylines and be like, and then...
Because there's so many teams, just so many relationships, and then it bleeds over into other things.
I think that if you guys want to see that, if you guys want to see a drunk history X-Men edition, please let us know in the comments or in DMs.
Email us.
Let us know, because I have a handful of people that would be experts in this that would join us, and it would be really fun. I would love to do it with cosplayers acting out.
Amazing.
Wouldn't that be so fun?
That'd be hilarious.
I want to do, just for my own shits and giggles and because I think it would be fantastic, drunk history X-Men edition with cosplayers acting out the drunk history and me and some of my buddies that have been reading X-Men for more than I've been alive to do the history of it, because I think that would be just really, really fun.
Yeah, just the sheer amount of like story and stuff, like you could have a long sit-form series with that.
Should we segue that into some more nostalgia? Like, we got Marvel versus DC.
It's Marvel versus DC.
Is this like,
good job, Funky.
I saw Marvel versus, I'm like, Marvel versus Capcom 4, baby. It's back. And then, you know, like, just saw Marvel versus, I'm like, I don't need to read the rest. It's Marvel 4.
Then it's Marvel.
Unfortunately, it is. A reprint. Still exists.
No.
But it's an omnibus, and it's going to be cool, and it's limited.
Probably. I don't know. It could be like the JLA like Perez one where everybody wants it.
I mean, I would hope not, since it's hopefully not tied to like
I don't
a
know,
foundation.
When's the last time,
like last time
that Marvel and DC got together to print it.
Very
when they needed money.
Yeah, it's very, very. I mean, I think
there's
it'll definitely
cool
be
Jim Lee.
That's true. Jim Lee's going to be doing variants for both the DC versus Marvel and the amalgam omnibus that they're doing. The amalgam variant wraparound that he is doing has been released, but not the DC versus.
And then that's just black and white too.
Yeah, it's just black and white so far. I'm sure
it's not
he'll
final
color. Yeah. Well, I think it's not coming out until August or September, I think.
Yeah, we got a while. Hang on.
Yeah, but the pre-orders.
Oh, yeah, we have the
pre-orders are in, and get your pre-orders in early, because if they do allocate it, we're gonna give it to the first people that pre-order it. So first come, first serve.
Oh, it helps. It helps so much.
I hope they don't allocate
it's
it.
Really
I want
August.
A copy.
Yeah.
If I had the space.
We also have nostalgia. There's a Deadpool Kills the Marvel Universe reprint coming out.
Which, like, that's exciting.
A must have if you're a Deadpool fan or getting into Deadpool.
You're a big Deadpool Kills.
Yeah, because that was like the first comic I remember like picking up from a store and like reading. Actually, like I'm sure I picked up others before that, but that was like one of the first ones I remember like going to the store and it would like just came out. Or it was
such a baby.
It was the second printings of issues 1 and 2 that I picked up, which were, I think they were like black and white J. Scott Campbell covers, like sketch covers that were
really rad
as hell.
They're hard.
And I definitely read them way too young because they're so fucked up. But if you haven't read them and you want a way to read them and like or at least read the first issue to see if it's something you'd like, definitely pick up the facsimile. That first issue has Deadpool blowing off Spider-Man's head and it's tight. It's so rad. It's not a spoiler because it's been out for like a decade.
Oh, that's true.
It has been out for a while.
What's the rules on spoilers?
How does he off Luke
Cage? If it's been out for like 2 weeks, don't spoil it, Funky. We can't talk about X-Men.
But articles.
2 months.
Like he has him like swallow something.
Oh.
He's like, okay,
that is an actual spoiler.
Okay, yeah. Come on. Okay, yeah. I mean, it's been out for a while.
I apologize. I skipped way down on the list talking about nostalgia. We'll get back.
Yeah.
Ramon here, as our fearless leader for the podcast, has made a comprehensive list of all the coolest stuff that's coming.
Hi-ho!
Most of this stuff is coming out in June, so that means that you can get your pre-orders in now, put it on your poll, get your orders in, so that we can get it when it comes out in June, and you'll be first in line for it. Yeah,
and then some of them are stuff that is, like, probably out right now, but, you know, the pre-order for, like, issue 3 is out, so...
Yeah. Or issue 2, you know, It just helps us stay on top of all the stuff. All
right, and then on to some of the next stuff that's coming out. There's a sequel to Batman Gotham by Gaslight that they're doing.
Oh, I actually really liked that when it came out. Yes. I thought that was super cool and fun.
Yeah. I mean, it's Victorian Mignola in Batman.
How can you not like it? It's
a fun little one shot, and I think that's the power of Elseworld stories in general. It's just being able to do cool one-shot stories, and you know, if they're cool enough to warrant a sequel, then hopefully the sequels are
decades later.
Yeah,
decades later, then hopefully the sequels are good. You know,
we'll see. This isn't a one-shot though. This is
ongoing.
It's a 12 issue.
It's a mini maxi series. Is 12 count as a mini series?
I think 12 is now officially a maxi series. Yeah. I think six issues is a mini series.
Such a silly name.
Yeah. A maxi series.
Maxi.
Yeah.
But maybe just because my cat's name is Max. But then we also have.
So is everyone in Utah's cat.
There's a new list. There's a new DC Pride coming out in a couple months.
DC Prides are always fantastic. Really cool. They have great covers. They're actually like really fun and silly, and usually heartfelt. So check them out.
Yeah, speaking of covers, they actually are doing just one issue that's full of just all the covers. Mm-hmm.
That's true.
They've had a slew of banging covers for those.
Yeah,
so
the main cover that they're using on is a beautiful Jen Bartel cover that was like a limited, one from last year.
Yeah, some crazy like incentive variant where people are just like, why isn't this the B cover?
We all want this cover, which is now why it's the cover of the covers book.
Yep. Covers. Yep.
The most popular cover of the covers book gets to be on the cover of the covers book.
Yeah.
Nice. And then, so the next book we're going to be talking about is, it's actually, I don't know if it's like its own book or if it's going to be like an event book through multiple books.
Power? Who knows? Rundown on Absolute Power. I think you know a little bit.
Yeah, I know a little bit what's going on. Like,
yeah, give us the rundown.
Whatever you do not look it up. DC spoiled a bunch of their other series.
DCs have been spoiling so much of their own material. Don't look it up. Just ask Funky. He'll spoil it for you.
I think, not intentionally.
Yeah, I think DC and Warner, they came across like, you know, some stuff of ours, and they're like, this man is a menace. We have to beat him.
We're going to beat Funky to our own spoilers. We're just going to spoil
it
ourselves.
Too good. So what is Absolute Power about?
So all the events that have been coming up throughout the years with DC, it's been a buildup of hinting that Amanda Waller has something in her back pocket. And she's going to use that something to like take down all the villains and all the heroes. And she's just going to basically be this power head that kind of almost rules the DC universe with an iron fist. It's been kind of interesting because she's been having the Suicide Squad just get a bunch of ancient artifacts, like the Helmet of Hate, potentially also the other lasso, I think also the... I'm blanking on like the new lasso. Yeah, the black lasso.
There's two new lassos.
Yeah, there's...
So is she trying to level the playing field? Or...
Yes. From what I've kind of read with all the other events, it's pretty much this like, yes, humanity needs to like be up, like, you know, have something against like these godlike beings. It's a way to kind of level the playing field.
X-Men.
Yeah, pretty much, yes. It's
I don't know. I just like that sounds so.
You know, I heard it, Governor.
And then the next one we're going to talk about is going to be My Adventures with Superman, which is going to be a spinoff of the animated show they just released, I think, last year. It's going to take place in between the first and second season, which, and I'm very excited because I love the animated series. It was very, it was silly. It was more of a kid's show that first season, but like it very much, and I just love Jack Quaid. Jack Quaid is a great Superman in that show.
He is so good.
Good casting. I think it's the best, like, just pure joy, like, I know, it just feels like Superman. Like, everything Superman recently, like, since, like, Man of Steel, I feel like, outside of the comics, has just been, like, so...
Jesus allegory superhero.
Yeah, like, it's something... Like,
him does being, it bring you back to Smallville?
I never watched Smallville.
Oh, it's because you're too young.
I was like,
it's because you're too young.
I think it's just something that Zack Snyder needs to take notes on if he ever wants to touch another DC property ever again.
What do you mean, make it really gritty? Like, really gritty?
No, I think if he just wants to make a good superhero movie, he actually needs to read the comics and actually.
Shots
fired. Oh, my God, yeah.
Adapt the characters with the love and intention that they deserve.
Yeah, he might like Avengers just because. Superman straight up does a Sailor Moon transformation.
Yeah, he does. He does. Like, he absolutely does.
It's so great. It's just so
It's very much just like everything great about Superman, where it's just hope for humanity, just hells yeah humans, and just fun sci-fi adventures.
He's a silly guy.
Now in comics.
I think that what you said that I really, really want to touch on again is there's a joy. There's a joy that's being brought into it where it, like... I'm here to sell nostalgia, right? That's what I do at the Comic Book Hideout, is I give people back their childhood for like 5 to 10 minutes at a time when you read a comic book.
That's beautiful, man.
And so, it's important to know that when you pick up a book, I mean, not everything has to be the new plastic, right? That's like just yuck. But, you know, when you read a comic, there should be... And I mean, there's comics are versatile, and there's a little bit of something for everyone. So this isn't for everything all the time, but there should be this sense of fun and nostalgia and escapism. Like, we're all living in this world that's just—I mean, I don't even need to put that on the table. We're just living in this world that can get us down. Mm-hmm. And so by reading a comic book, you're stepping into a fantasy where there can be joy and love and hope and heroes that you can root for and people that you can daydream about and things that can warm your heart and make you laugh. And I think that Superman, of all, has gone through so many transformations, but his original comic books, like, our favorite thing to laugh about is when we get Silver Age Superman in.
Yes.
And Lois Lane and Jimmy Olsen. Because that kind of stuff, that just brings this, like, absolute silliness and joy and fun of what can we think of next? You know, what can be next on these great adventures?
Because, yeah, sometimes when you crack open a book, you just want to feel like you just woke up Saturday morning in your PJs, got your cereal, got your hot cocoa, and you're just ready to go. So,
and you know that there is good to be had out there, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that coupled in that is, like, you know, X-Men is giving us, like, oh, this is allegory to real world drama. This is really tugging on our heartstrings for things that are happening. And we're giving love and empathy to people that need it because the world can be a hard place, but we should all still have hope and love for each other. And in the same vein, right, Superman's doing something that is, you know, it did this really fun, silly, crazy thing, and then it got real dark, and the allegory got real biblical, and it got real fucking weird for a minute, and then it came back, and now it can be this fun, joyful thing again. And I think that most of the time, DC is so busy trying to nudge out Marvel and who can be the hardest, it's hard for them to remember that, you know, not only Harley Quinn gets to be funny and silly campy, you know, not only... Does a Peacemaker get to be a total dingbat?
Batman can be fun and silly.
Yeah,
but Batman can be fun and silly.
Run recently has been kind
yes.
of
yeah.
That. Yeah. And yeah. I think that
they didn't forget.
The animated oh, yeah. series for DC has always, they've been holding it down. They've been holding it down for ages, right? Because the movies have been hit or miss. And some of them are really fun and, you know, wackadoo, and some of them are total garbage. But the animated series, I think, for DC has been consistent. And it's really nice to see the comics reflect that same kind of reverence for the characters.
Well, that's why I think, like, and this is kind of tying back into what we were talking about with the 97 show of, like, that's why I think adapting comics into different mediums is so important, because mm-hmm. you're able to, you know, express characters in different ways through animation, through live action, and you're able to do these spins on characters that are able to show that love and respect for the character that you just can't really do through comics. And yeah. And you're able to get people to, like, pick up an X-Men book or pick up a Superman book. It's like, oh, that was really fun. Like, I'm going to see, like, what this character's about. And then, like, you get to, like, you know, you get to be put onto these series. And I just think, like, with that's why, like, good movies and good adaptations are just so important for these characters. That's why, like, I don't hate you, Zack Snyder. I don't hate those movies. I just
redacted.
Like,
that was a quick apology.
Ramona, edit out the previous comment.
No. Keep it in, because I do hate those movies, but I don't hate Zack Snyder. I just think that good movies and good adaptations are important, and you know, those, I don't think those movies
they give you a reason to fall in love with the characters yes. in a new way that helps you to go back to the source material. Yes. Just like a movie based on a good book, yep. right?
Yes. Either way, yeah. a little sidetracked.
Sorry.
Let's get back to talking about comics.
The movie podcast could be something else.
Right. Yeah.
There are too many of those already.
Yeah. We got, a couple more DC?
Yeah, we got a few more DC. Also, I'm going to go back really quick. The days that certain books are going to come out, the DC Pride is going to be releasing, I think, the 28th of next month.
In Powers. Pride Month? How convenient.
My Adventures with Superman comes out the following month, and then Absolute Powers releases April 23rd. And the next book we're jumping into is Batman 148, which is going to be the new Dark Prisons arc.
Mm.
You guys know what that is going
to be? I mean, I slightly know. The main thing I know, I've been flipping through the issues. I know that Zernar's in a freaky robo body. And he's
my favorite.
He's beating up Batman and the Bat family. And I mean, you know, Jorge Jimenez has been killing it on art. So if you're going to pick up that book for anything, it's the art.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I appreciate Chip for bringing out Xur again and doing something cool with him, doing something new and fun. You can always count on Chip for that. So
God bless Chip.
God bless Chip Zdarsky.
Still waiting on that Spobbin, the man wonder.
he's great at pulling back old things, storylines.
There's so much. The river is deep, you know? Mm-hmm. There's so much stuff to pull from.
Yeah, and that's why, like, you know, a run like Morrison's is so important, because, like, it's a run that really focuses on the reverence for those, like, really early Silver Age
mm-hmm.
stories that most people are just like, oh, that was fucking silly. Batman's on Mars and Robin fucking dies from this, like, crazy little alien robo thing. And then it's like, oh no, Batman, like, you know, went through this, like, mental torture to fucking create this whole new persona in case he goes rogue or whatever. And it's like, you know, yeah, I'm glad that we're getting back to that with Batman, of like doing some cool retro stuff, but modernizing it mm-hmm. into some cool stuff. And I mean, get Jorge on any book and I'll pick it up. Or at least flip through it.
Next book we're talking about is Zatanna, Bring Down the House, number one.
Probably like Zatanna.
Yeah.
I'm excited that Zatanna is a book, because Kara is also very excited about Zatanna's book. Oh, really? Tell us more. No, we won't just edit you out like we do every time. Oh, we never let you get to have your own opinions. I know. Go on. She's like, why are we here so late? It's past my bedtime. I should be at home. There could be skunks out. So anyways, Zatanna is awesome. She never gets an ongoing series. She's always in miniseries. They like to just keep her under the hat, you know.
And she's got an awesome writer for this one.
She does, and I'm actually really excited about it. I think that, you know,
always botch her name.
Oh, Mariko Tamaki.
There
we go. Yeah, Mariko Tamaki is going to be good. She's a really rad character, and she has some cool stuff going on. I love when they bring her into Justice League Dark, because then she actually is the only one that can, like, get anything done and, like, figure shit out.
Yeah.
And I feel like Wonder Woman is always OP for that team.
Yep.
And so Zatanna always gets, like, second fiddle. But her and Constantine have a good time. And, you know, we need more DC magic shit.
Yeah, and also, Javier Rodriguez is doing the art. And Defenders Beyond was really sick. And given that it's Zatanna and it's magic, I'm excited to see what he's gonna do with like the panel layouts, and hopefully see some cool stuff out of that.
Yeah, there's already previews for it, and
yeah,
like
there's previews,
yeah, it looks
really
amazing.
Cool.
That's
cover.
True. That's like, true. Really sick. Really sick stuff.
Really cool
the A cover.
More cheesecake.
The first cover. A, the, come
so
on.
Much
come on.
Cheesecake.
Yeah. Oh, come on, yeah. Man.
How much fishnets?
Oh, all the fishnets.
All a suit of fishnets. Done.
Yeah, too.
But also.
Oh my God, we've only just finished DC.
Yeah, and then that guy's gonna be coming out June 2nd.
We'll
I think
hammer
we need a blast.
Marvel
we need a blast.
We're gonna,
blood hunt.
That's true. Yeah, we don't need to talk about all
jump,
blood hunt. If you wanna,
jump up to
get into those mini titles, you'll know which ones you want.
There's like
we don't need to talk about all
the blood hunt. We're just gonna ramble off a list of all the characters.
So we should just talk about Blood Hunt now, because we're already here.
Yeah, we can just jump to Marvel now.
Let's
we can
just do Marvel, and then we'll go
vampires.
Back to the indie.
Okay.
So Blood Hunt is a major crossover event, and as major crossover events go, you know there will be way too many tie-ins.
Okay,
but
this is a little too much.
Yeah, it's
but
90-some-odd.
But you need to make sure you pre-order the ones that you actually want, because we're not going to order all of them, because there's almost 100.
Yeah.
And that's insane.
We are
they're doing one for like every single character.
Yeah, we are not going to pre-order.
Because
it's like,
literally affecting their whole world.
Yeah.
Reading all that.
Yeah, we are not pre-ordering like 10 copies of Hamster Huey and the Gooey Kablooey tie-in for Blood Hunt. Like,
so if you want it, order it, because otherwise we're not going to get it.
Yeah.
And this is, you know, we love crossover stories when they're good, and we love crossover stories when the characters that are being showcased and highlighted are awesome. We don't need one for every single fucking character.
Like, as long as it's fun, I don't want to be a negative Nancy or negative Nate, but there's just too many. Like, just focus on the characters. Like, the Jubilee one looks fun because it's like, it's a good callback. It's a good callback. But a Miles one,
they want that sweet arachnid blood.
The radioactive arachnid
and
blood.
And his Miles is
spider blood.
Oh,
electricity.
Okay, we'll leave it at that.
So if you want a Blood Hunt book, order it.
Do we want to just ramble off? There's a Wolverine. There's a Jubilee. There's a Psylocke.
Venom, Fantastic Four, Doctor Strange. That one does look dope. I mean, Vengeance of Moon Knight one, that's a given.
That'll be cool.
Yeah.
He is finding all those vampires that owe him money, and he is taking, he's taking names. Like, they probably owe him like $5,000. Like, $5,000 in total.
Yeah.
Like,
and then there's also a Midnight Suns crossover that they're doing.
Yes, okay, that one, yes.
The
that
Black
one will
Panther
be getting
one looks
some.
Cool.
Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Scotty's doing a handful of the variants.
Of course Scotty. He is. If you want Scotty Young variants, please order them, because we are going to get...
Quick. They do.
They go like really quick, and we want to make sure that they're getting into your pool if you want them, because we'll put them on the wall and they'll be gone.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
And then next for Marvel, the X-Men number 35 is going to be
a regular book.
Yes, a regular book. So that's going to be like the end of this like current era of X-Men.
That's the line. At 34.
Yeah. It's,
what?
Are they cutting it at
34?
35. Okay.
Each issue
like,
is so
why would
much.
They, why would they cut it off at an even number? That's not, you don't do that.
No, it's at 35. Yeah,
I need Mike Cooper to come in and tell me all about X-Men. I need to
can be on the Drunk X-Men podcast.
Okay, Mike, I'm talking to you, babe. You gotta come be on my Drunk X-Men podcast and tell everyone about what's current in X-Men.
Yep.
Yeah,
so he always catches me up.
Yeah, he does the same with me too. Yeah, there's a handful of X people.
We love you, Mike. Love your art. We love you keeping us up to date with the crazy world of X-Men.
Much appreciated.
Because there's a lot.
And they're using that to introduced the whole legacy number. So the bringing back, it's X-Men, Uncanny X-Men. There's X-Force, Exceptional. Mm-hmm. It's a whole new list.
NYX.
Our X-Men back issue section is really well organized, super well stocked, and full of all those great legacy titles, so you can come in and scoop them all up to continue on your legacy X-Men journey.
Uncanny X-Men. Number 700.
Yep, 700.
Hey, man.
Damn.
Somebody out there has got them all in one box.
Yeah, and then...
You can't have 700 comics in a box.
But you can try. Recommended, especially with the number one.
Yeah. And then moving on from X-Men, we got Uncle Scrooge, the Infinity Coin.
This one I'm actually kind of excited for. Like,
tell us about it, then.
So, yeah, it's... They're going to try to do, like, the original kind of Uncle Scrooge stuff, make it a bit more adventure-y, a bit more, like, Uncle Scrooge-y, kind of like the original Don Bluth comics. They got Alex Ross doing, like, the A cover. It literally took me a while. I'm like, man, this is, like, a well-drawn Uncle Scrooge. I wonder who did it. Oh, it's Alex Ross.
This is so big.
It's painted.
It's painted, yeah. No, it's... Him just diving into like a pool of money.
Yeah, it looks like he went to heaven immediately.
Yeah. But yeah, flipping through like the description, bunch of writers. It sounds like it's a love letter to like DuckTales, the original Uncle Scrooge.
Is it going to be a one shot or is it going to be
a one shot?
It's a one shot. Okay. But this is going to mark like first official, like in a long time, Marvel Disney produced comics.
Yeah.
Like, and since they bought them and all that.
Dang.
And
yeah, because the Disney comics have been separate always up until this point, right?
All the new stuff you've been getting, like, it was, villains and stuff.
Yeah.
Dynamite.
Yeah,
which,
like, they licensed that off. Can like, Hercules is through Dynamite and stuff. But, the Scrooge, Uncle Scrooge is going to be, like, one of the first ones. And then they just announced that they're going to start doing what-if series, like, what if Donald Duck was Wolverine.
Yes, oh, that has
wait,
been...
Wait, are they actually, they're actually falling through on those covers?
That has been all over.
Wow.
Yeah, so now they're not just the ASM variant covers, so good.
Good.
So it's not just going to be an issue of Amazing Spider-Man?
it's going to be an actual story inside of it.
But why?
But
because Disney's down the street.
Yeah. They are down the street. They are down the street. But yeah, no. Infinity Dime.
So you can go and be mad at them in person.
Yes.
But yeah.
Don't say that out loud, G.
It's kind of like...
The mouse is watching.
But to mark this big occasion, they also put in a reprint of Christmas on Bear Mountain. So you can read the very first Uncle Scrooge comic.
That's cool.
So yeah, cool. It's a little nice touch. Like, are you excited about that also?
Sure loves Uncle Scrooge.
Yeah.
Ron, what's next? What's next?
He is a duck.
Oh.
You know how she feels about ducks.
Absolutely loves ducks.
Yeah, and then we got the next, after that, like, round of the Ultimate Comics. We got Ultimate Black Panther 5, Ultimate Spider-Man 6, and Ultimate X-Men 4, all releasing.
They've all been crushing it with, like, the Ultimate Universe.
So far all the books have been great. I've been really enjoying all of them. Ultimate Black Panther, I'm surprised. I didn't think I was going to enjoy that one as much since it was kind of, like, the one most people weren't as excited about. But it's really fun. And all the stuff they're doing with Storm, like, showing up, or, like, regular Storm, because then you got May Storm in Ultimate X-Men, but Aurora. And
main Storm in Black Panther.
Yeah, so she's been really cool in that.
Mm-hmm. And it's low-key a Moon Knight book also. Yeah.
Not really. It's not a Moon Knight book.
Oh, okay.
It's not a Moon Knight. Moon Knight is like a villain, but it's not
Moon Knight.
There's no guy with a hood. It's Khonshu and Ra working together, and together they're known as Moon Knight.
Yeah, it's not Mark Spector hopped up on ketamine and like terrorizing Wakanda. I would read that. I would read Mark Spector terrorizing Wakanda hopped up on ketamine.
I just brought it up because half our Moon Knight people jumped on the Black Panther that don't read Black Panther.
Yeah. Because Moon Knight's in it, but it's not...
Moon Knight's in it.
It's,
yeah.
But it's not
technically,
like...
Technically, yeah.
Technically. But it's not him.
Six
not Mark Spector.
It's very different. Mm. But, so then the Ultimate Black Panther is coming... 5 is coming out the 26th of June. Ultimate Spider-Man the 19th of June. Mm. And then Ultimate X-Men 4 the 12th of June.
Yeah, I'm honestly very excited to see how Ultimate X-Men goes. Yeah. I've been loving it. It just feels like the original first Persona game where it's just weird, spooky vibes. and just weird mystic powers.
Yeah, issue two was really fun. I like the vibe that they're going for. Where yeah, it's definitely more of like a weird like mystic mystery title that just happens to have these people that have strange powers and abilities. And I mean, I feel like Peach's art style just lends to that so well, and just the vibe that book is capturing. I'm really digging it.
Yeah, and just very small town horror.
Yes,
which is so fun for X-Men. Like, what?
I know.
Yeah, we haven't had really almost a horror X-Men title.
I feel like the ultimate titles are just delivering on like what they should be and what they I feel like are intending for, at least for this new run, of just like doing cool things with these characters that like at least the editors just won't allow in the mainline titles, or like, you know, the writers just wouldn't do. So
and it's a way to be funky. It's a way to be weird and
just do something strange. Make Peter, you know, make Uncle Ben be the head of Daily Bugle with J. Jonah. Make him be best buds.
And just have him have like a buddy cop conflict relationship with them.
Make Peter have a healthy and loving relationship with Mary Jane.
About time.
Yeah.
Fine. Yeah, man. Yeah. It can happen.
Yeah.
And then after that, we got actually another X-Men book. It's X-Men Heir to Apocalypse, issue 1, which is going to be coming out also on the 12th of June, like Ultimate X-Men number 4.
What? More? Apocalypse?
Yes.
What's up with that guy?
I'm actually not 100% sure. I don't really... Anybody kind of know what's going on in Heir to Apocalypse?
Are they bringing back, like, you know... Apocalypse is like reincarnation.
I don't know. I feel like it might be a continuation of the Age of Apocalypse storyline.
Huh.
Yeah, from like, so this is one of those. Marvel's been doing a lot of rehatching 90s storylines.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
It's like, if you miss the 90s vibe, they're going to do a short run. Like they did it for Venom. They did it for.
They're still doing
that. That's right. Yeah.
They're like, hey, remember your childhood?
Here it is.
You're old enough now to buy expensive comic books. We're going to give you some really good variants.
Give us your money.
You got big kid money now.
Remember when your mom said you couldn't have that book on the supermarket? Well, now you can.
And she said, no, you cannot have that Lego Death Star, but now you can afford it. Do you want to buy it and put a dent in your wallet? Probably not, but you can afford it.
Then after that...
We don't sell Legos.
No, unfortunately not.
July 17th. We have Deadpool Role Plays D&D.
Hell yeah.
So Marvel's been coming out with it's a role-playing game booklet. It's a D6?
Yep, D6 system. Yeah. Literally just system. 3 D6s. You are all set.
Yeah, so we have like some of the regular manuals, but they came out with like a Kang storyline, a Scarlet Witch storyline. I think this is like their fourth story that they dropped.
They're... Fourth, like, expansion.
Yeah,
like
fourth
book.
Expansion. Yeah. It's a Deadpool role plays.
These guys are one-shots that you can play with a D6.
It's a campaign.
Yep. Yes. Campaign, and
is
also...
Is it a full campaign, or is it a one-shot
campaign? Like, you could play it in one sitting.
Probably a big book. Probably a...
I would say, like, you'd probably wrap it up in 3 or 4 sessions, at least.
That's what I would think.
Yeah. And, I mean, as with all, like, you know, tabletop expansions, it's going to be new power sets, new pre-made characters, because it's Marvel one. That's a big draw for this Marvel system. It's like, you can get your pre-built, you know, characters. And this is how Spider-Man plays. This is how Deadpool plays. But also on top of it, your custom character, where you can just throw a bunch of superpowers at your custom character.
That's cool.
Yeah,
oh my gosh.
You can.
it's like when we used to play in the park.
Oh, I miss those days.
When you yell Wolverine and then you scratch your sibling.
No, I have all the powers. I can teleport and read minds. And karate kick you.
No, your laser beams didn't. I set up a force field. Your laser beam didn't hit me.
My favorite kid thing was like being Spider-Man on the edge of a pool.
Oh, yes.
Then after that, coming out the 26th of June, we have Godzilla number 1 facsimile.
Yes.
Yes,
they have
yes.
Foil.
Can you tell these boys like Godzilla?
It's so good.
Yeah.
Everybody.
And that's also my birthday. Godzilla birthday present.
Yeah.
That's all I ever wanted.
Yeah, so, for his gift, just give him all those facsimiles.
Please do. I loved -1. Go watch -1 if you haven't watched -1.
-1 is great.
-1. Amazing. rocks.
So in the end of June, we have a lot of birthdays. So don't forget, we are going to do a collective birthday party sale. Because
Day of Music too.
Yeah,
my son's birthday is Day of Music on the solstice. Mm-hmm. I'm the 24th. He's the 26th. My husband's the 27th. We got 10 in May right after Free Comic Book Day.
Yep.
We got Funky in the early July, and then Willie. Willie next in the middle of July on the 16th.
He's
right?
June.
Oh no, he's June. He's Gemini.
Yeah.
So anyway. Our entire staff is Geminis and Cancers, and that's why you love us so much. Because we love you.
I mean, I'm actually a Taurus, but...
I'm the freak.
Yeah.
No. You're a Libra, and that's okay.
That's true.
Because my second son is a Libra, that's great, too.
I don't know what any of those things mean.
It means we got birthdays that are all grouped together, so it's great for a big old party.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, end of June, keep your calendars and your eyes and your ears open for our big announcement of when we're going to do a party, which includes a righteous sale, because that's how we do it at the Comic Book Hideout. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Godzilla.
Godzilla.
Yeah. More Godzilla.
Bring us Godzilla cake.
Then we have there's going to be a giant-sized Daredevil coming out June 12th.
I love Daredevil, and I feel like Eight loves Daredevil too. And I just want to say that I'm so excited that the Daredevil from the Netflix Daredevil is going to be the new MCU stuff.
Love you, Charlie. Love you, John. Love
those nerds. And Punisher, right?
He's back.
John's back. Deborah Ann Wall is back as...
pretty much everybody's back.
Mm-hmm.
As
Karen.
Yep.
It's basic name. How do you forget Karen?
Is it the you full just hate cast that for, much? I for think Daredevil? So.
Yeah.
And Punisher?
Yeah.
And Luke Cage?
Everybody.
Yeah.
Well, we don't know about Luke Cage and I. Well, recently I know.
They have nothing to do with Finn that storyline going on. So
posted he was reading a Power Man and Iron Fist comic.
Right.
So people were like, oh, maybe he's gonna be Iron Fist again, but I don't think so because I remember hearing rumors that they're gonna introduce a female Iron Fist. In like an upcoming MCU project, and that they're gonna go forward with a female Iron Fist.
Because they were like, you know what we should do? We shouldn't just make a nice Asian character be Asian. We should just make her a white girl. Right? Yeah. That makes it better. No.
No. Yeah. Pain.
He doesn't like that idea.
I love Danny Rand.
So Danny Rand was fun in the 70s, but like, why you gotta white savior it?
I mean,
you
know that's true.
It's a little dated.
Yeah, I that aspect of the character is a little like
questionable.
Like, why you gotta be white? Yeah.
But I do enjoy the kind of like the more modern takes of it, where it's it's just Luke Cage and Danny Rand being like buddy cop. Yeah. Like Heroes for Hire type stuff.
I love Heroes for Hire.
I like that stuff.
I just feel like
any of the Kun Lun stuff is
white boy, white savior thing is real, real played out.
Definitely, yeah.
So if you're gonna make a new Iron Fist, why would you?
Well, that's why I liked when they did in the it was like 2019 or when was the like newer Iron Fist run?
Oh,
where they had
it was like 2021.
Yeah, where they did do a new Iron Fist.
The last Iron Fist, it's from one of the what's it called? Agents of
Atlas. It was a new Swordmaster. It was
Swordmaster. Oh.
It's in his arms now.
Yeah, so
now he's Iron Fist.
Mm-hmm. Wait, that's kind of sick.
That is cool as hell.
That's
his sword is in his arms.
Yeah. The end of the last season, I remember they kind of teased
Fucking
other
sick.
People being Iron Fist.
He punches you.
I mean, Iron Fist is not a. It's not a mutually like.
We are all Iron Fist.
You know, there
is
could
Iron Fist on this list.
No.
We just like
sorry,
talking about
sorry,
Iron Fist.
Okay. Get us back to
Daredevil.
We're
talking about Daredevil.
We
got to give love
Daredevil,
to all the street level heroes.
We love 70s like Hong Kong action flicks.
Yes.
They are fun.
So did everyone just are we not getting any more Shang-Chi?
They haven't mentioned anything.
Okay. Well, we'll put it on the podcast when we get new Shang-Chi.
I think he was having too much fun playing Ken.
Oh, yeah.
The other Ken.
Yes.
That's true.
Yep.
The Ken that can do a backflip.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Continue.
The better Ken.
In over the summer, for some reason, I don't know why they keep doing the Star Wars, is they're doing an adaptation of the Ahsoka show, but as a comic, like they did with Obi-Wan and the first two seasons of Mandalorian. Just,
like, I'm
very how many dips can we get? Yeah, can we get a double dip? Can we get a triple dip?
Stop it. Stop it, please.
Dip.
On the one, for me, I'm on the fence. Like, on the one hand, it's just like, why do you do this? But on the other hand, it's like, not everybody has Disney Plus, so it might be good if you don't want to.
That's true.
Yeah, that's the
or
thing,
is it
yeah.
Disney just saying money, please?
Well, but it's also like why, like, well, I guess, like, the writer is basically just figuring out the layouts, yeah, and that's it. You're not writing anything new.
Pretty much.
Wait, it's just the show?
Yeah,
it's
just literally just the show. Yeah.
Episode by episode.
That's,
yeah, that's it.
They did it with Mandalorian. They did it with Obi-Wan.
Like, I'm for giving artists more work. Like, that's cool, but like, it's like, if the writer's not doing anything,
yeah, just twiddling their thumbs and be like, yeah, "What scenes like,
oh,
should we
keep can,
in?"
Oh,
like,
this yeah. scene. Just take a screenshot of that one. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah. Oh, wait. Is the Ahsoka's just the show?
Yeah, it's literally just the show. Like, yeah.
Fuck, you got lost. Like, for a minute. Okay, bring it back. Bring it back.
Yeah. Yeah. Then releasing June 12th. Ooh. She did not like the date, June 12th.
Oh.
We have the TMNT Usagi Saturday morning.
I'm excited. Oh, I am excited. Like, Stan isn't writing it, but the premise sounds interesting. I'm curious on what their take on it, because literally every, like, you know, comic adaptation of, like, the Turtles meeting Usagi, like, you know, Stan has written it. So I'm very curious on, like, another person's take on it. Mm. So by the looks of it, it's going to be, like, you know, the 80s cartoon, like, you know, Turtles line up with, like, 80s Usagi, and they're going to, like, his dimension. And, like, with the cartoon, if I remember right, like, Usagi came to, like, the 80s, like, dimension. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be interesting seeing, like, a reversal on that.
Yeah.
So it'd be kind of cool to see, like, Usagi's rogue gallery and, like, you know, the 80s style. Would love to see Jay. Would love to see, like, you know, the Neko Ninjas, and I'm blanking out on the Bat Ninjas. But yeah, no, I'm very excited. Though, why do that the 1 in 50 have to be like the Stan incentive, like, variant?
Stop making the cool covers the most expensive ones.
Money, please.
Stop it. I hate it.
Money, please.
Yeah. And then, kind of speaking of Rogues Galleries, the next book we have is Nemesis Rogues Gallery.
Which I'm excited about. Yeah. I really like the Nemesis. Like, it's so good.
Yeah, I've read the first two series are
Jorge Jimenez, man.
Well, I like the first one.
Yeah, the first one's amazing.
I haven't seen I haven't read the first one.
The first one's, if you...
I really like
it. It's just fucked up.
It's very, it's messed up, but a fun read.
I think it's fun. For some people, it might not be very fun.
It's hit or miss, like, depending on how you can stomach some subject matter. Like,
so, yeah, we're just getting more Mark Millar universe. Is it Miller?
I've always said Miller, but
I think it's Millar.
I've always said Millar.
Yeah, I mean, there's...
You're wrong. He just wants to be special.
But yeah, they've been expanding on Mark Millar's whole universe for all his creative properties.
Yep.
So is Grant Morris.
They had Big Game that was the big crossover event, and now we're back with Nemesis.
Yep.
Yeah.
Gallery.
Which is cool. I like that they've been... It's funny, they were like, I just think Mark Millar was just like, you know what? All these characters I made over the last 10 years... Let's just throw all of them together. Let's do it. I don't want to make any more. Let's just start putting them all together. Let's just do it.
It was super fun.
Yeah, I heard it was a very... It was very Mark Millar, which is very shocking, and it was a very fun read. Mm. But next book, I don't really know what this is about. It's a cool name. It's Gotcha, Man.
Oh, my God.
You seem to know what this is.
So, it was Gotcha, same umbrella animated studio that did, like, you know, Tatsunoko Studio, they did, like, Source Material for Speed Racer, they did Yatterman, and I looked into it, so basically the publisher behind it, they hit up Tatsunoko, and it's a continuation of the original, like, 70s Gatchaman, so...
Which is Battle of the Planets.
Yeah, which is Battle of the Planets here.
Thank you. Yeah. That's what we needed. The people with the bird-themed
theme Power Rangers, right?
Pretty much.
Birdman?
Birdman, yeah.
You are talking about Birdman!
Bird, it's like Bird theme Voltron.
Yes.
And actually, surprisingly, it's the source material for a lot of those like transforming heroes from Japan.
It's what kind of started it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So check it out. If you dig Voltron and all those.
Actually a preview for it in Free Comic Book Day. I flipped through it. So they're trying to nail the same art styles that they did in the 70s, that Tatsunoko, like, look.
Nice. It just instantly puts the Speed Racer song in my head for the next 4 days.
What are you doing? Stop crying.
So that's very cool. Mm-hmm. Then some more kind of indie stuff. Some G.I. Joe. We got two new G.I. Joe books releasing.
We have more than that because they're doing the side stories. So we got the Destro, the Scarlet, the Duke. Those are all G.I. Joe books. Yep.
Yeah, so all of those guys are going to be coming. The Destro is going to be coming out on the 19th of June. Scarlet is going to be coming out on the 5th of June. And then the next issue of Cobra Commander, well, I don't know if it's the next one, but I think it's going to be issue 7 is going to be coming out on the 18th of June. And then Duke is going to be coming out on the 5th.
Hell yeah.
And so far, Cobra is the only one I've been reading, but it's been really fun.
I just want to shout out to our customer, Phil Donnelly. I don't know if he listens to this podcast, but Phil Donnelly has been holding it down for G.I. Joe since the Hideout's been open. And so I'm really happy that G.I. Joe has been getting some love lately, but he has been like our hardcore.
I appreciate the Joe love too. I know that I'm not the, you know, what it stands for is not, I don't know. But
you're not the target demographic for G.I. Joe.
No, I'm not. But growing up, that's what was in a lot of my dad's collection was just back issues of G.I. Joe, and so that's
and
what
Batman.
I read. And man, that's I won't deny that I have a love for G.I. Joe, and you know, if there's one branch of the military that I have the most respect for, it's G.I. Joe. And, good gracious.
I have a love for Channing Tatum. Does that count?
Yeah. I mean,
but look, only when he dances.
Let's be honest. If any faction of the government has a mute ninja, like kills people with swords, like that. Come on, like that's. I'm gonna. Mm-hmm. And he has a wolf for a pet.
So cool.
The 80s were well.
Yeah. Overall, I'm glad that the G.I. Joe universe is getting some new love with the whole Energon universe.
And we're officially getting the live action Transformers G.I. Joe.
I heard that.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, also, I'm happy that they're doing like the villains focus with the miniseries because it kind of cements like. Literally, I would argue that like G.I. Joe was like the series that started the if evil, why cool designs.
True. Dude, you cannot tell me that Destro is not one of the coldest looking villains.
The pop collar, dude.
The pop collar, like, the full metal
like helmet,
head cast thing. I don't even know what it is, but it's and Cobra Commander. Sick.
Like, I mean, and even like the origin stories, like
they're coming out with like a helmet for Cobra Commander.
Oh yes.
Actual mirror thing.
My god, yes.
Like, if anything for Phil.
Phil, we need you.
It's a wearable Cobra Commander.
We need one for the Hideout, so every time we film Picks of the Week, like Ramon will be in the shot because he'll be
Shouldn't have told
you. Yeah, no, like I'm happy that
you should look on your previews. You can order it too.
He's such a cool villain. Like, his backstory is literally just, like, his ancestors were, like, a Scottish arm dealer, and he was selling weapons to, like, two warring factions. They found out about it, but they didn't want to kill him because they're like, he keeps giving us cool weapons, so we're going to put,
shit.
And they put, like, an iron mask on them. On like his ancestor, and like his clan was just like, yo, this is cool as hell. So like every heir that is in our clan just wears this metal mask.
I kind of fuck with this punishment.
And like, yeah, I mean, going through the toy store as a kid, like
didn't. Yeah, well, that's another story.
Yeah. But yeah, no, it's
history.
Cool Leonardo designs. DiCaprio.
Like, I mean, if you're going through the toy section and you see G.I. Joe, it's like, which one are you going to pick up?
G.I. Joe is just like if the rule of cool was applied to the military.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
And then
if only the military could be cool.
If only the military actually took those notes.
If only in comics.
Hire more ninjas with
hire like, some wolves more as pets. Ninjas with wolf pets.
Yeah.
Yeah. And find and. evil organization that has Kira, style.
This is you. We're going to put you in armor.
Yep.
We're going to train you to kill. She's not in the shot.
Yeah. The next book we're talking about is going to be releasing the 12th of June, and it's called Rifters, which is, I guess, about time cops.
Oh, hey, I like that.
Do you know what we all love?
Time cops.
Time cops?
No, time? Not cops.
I love the concept of time.
And that's it.
And that's it.
That's it.
It keeps on tripping into the future.
So
it keeps on ticking.
Or ticking.
Ticking into the future, Ten.
Yes.
Damn.
Time keeps on ticking. Ticking, ticking, ticking.
Oh, this is a reference.
Wow. Yes, this is.
I get it.
No, I don't. And Michael Jordan.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
He dunks. He do the jump. Yeah, he do.
Michael Jordan.
Yep.
Then they're
let Ten get away with that.
And welcome. To
listen, the gym. Sometimes I hear things. Sometimes I'm like, that sounds
okay.
Cooler.
Comic books.
Yeah, comic
books.
Yeah.
Then we got next is Misery, which is going to be a Spawn book.
Yeah. So that's directly following up with Cyan, who is the daughter of Wanda, who's Al's ex-wife. Mm-hmm. The whole reason he came back was for her.
Wanda.
They couldn't have kids when they were together. He comes back, and she moved on, and she had a kid. But
come on, Wanda.
Cyan.
Come on, Wanda.
And like all the ramifications
she needed that D.
and effects that she had watching, the Armageddon play out.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, it's kind of interesting. They're building more on the Spawn universe.
Yeah.
This is like the 7th Spawn universe title now.
As if we needed more.
You know what just never stops getting made? Spawn.
We love Spawn.
I like Spawn.
Have you heard of the new Spawn 2099? It's out now. Go get it.
That's true. Rat City number one.
Rat City,
bitch.
Next, we got a book called Precious Metal, which is going to be releasing the 5th of June. That's a Little Birds prequel.
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, what? You read Little Birds?
Little Birds is good. That's cool.
It's
cool.
Cool.
That's cool.
What?
Also, Plastic, Death and Dolls. Remember that creepy book about the guy who had a sex doll and then was murdering everyone?
Hey.
That's
they're
what
doing it
about.
Again.
Woo!
What?
Yeah. That,
all right.
That one's going to be releasing the 12th of June. Which can be fun. It's called Plastic Death and Dolls.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, hey.
Doug Wagner was like, money, please.
More. Now.
More nasty. You need nasty? I could do nasties.
Then we have a book called Remote Space, which is going to be also releasing on that same day, the 12th, which is a new sci-fi book. Cool. Do you guys know anything?
Not
I know.
Really?
Done in
24. I didn't put a note on that one.
Boom.
Boom. There we go.
Yeah.
That's in the future.
Kira doesn't like the future.
Yeah.
Kira, you don't like the future.
No.
It's okay.
But,
doesn't like how everything's chrome in the future.
No. Then next we have, Transformers number 9.
Yeah!
From the description of that looked pretty epic. It's
beginning of the Cybertron War, baby.
Yup, releasing on the 12th of June.
Yep.
It's going to be tight. I think.
They got a free comic book day book.
They do.
Out.
From the whole Energon universe.
Ryan Ottley art.
Oh.
Ryan Ottley and Daniel Warren Johnson have a Transformers tie-in. It's also got a Void Rivals tie-in and a Etta Joe universe tie-in as well. But, I mean,
Come on, Ryan Ottley doing Transformers. You can't go wrong with
so
that.
Good.
If someone asked me 5 years ago if Ryan Ottley was going to be doing a comic that my staff was so freaking excited about that wasn't Spider-Man.
Or Invincible.
I would not know.
Well, I wasn't that excited for his Spider-Man run.
I mean, didn't you remember seeing that panel where Megatron did like the flip motion and
Did he do it in this?
No, he didn't. He didn't, man.
It was a joke.
It was a joke.
I duped. My own show.
But Kara wants to go home.
I am tired.
Do you have anything else to talk about?
No, I don't think there's much else. I think we went through everything we needed to on the list. We kind of got through the free comic book day stuff.
Yeah. We only took 87 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
how much have we gone over the?
I don't.
Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, well, either way,
we'll fix it in post.
Yeah.
I want to say that we need to give a shout out to our wonderful production team, our Geek Speak awesome dudes, Henry and co.
We're now less scuffed.
Yes. A little bit.
Yep.
But,
yep.
Like massive upgrade.
Legit setup we've ever had.
Yeah, 100%.
I feel legit. We're holding this microphone.
Feels too like legit. I'm in Red Letter Media.
But yeah, thank you guys so much for tuning in. If you guys listened this far, that is crazy. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
And for all of our crazy rambling and stuff like that.
We want to say thank you. We love you. Come see us. Come hang out.
Alrighty, guys.
Later. I don't know. Okay, let's go the fuck home.
Alrighty, thank you guys. Bye.
Bye.
Pre-order Power Hour, the Comic Book Hideout podcast, is hosted by Ramon Quezada, Nate Basil, Nathan Smith, and Mark Garcia. It is produced by Glenna Speak and Bryce Rankins. This episode was edited by Ramon Quezada. Logo designed by Nate Basil. Find us on Instagram at Comic Book Hideout. The opinions voiced by the host of this podcast do not necessarily reflect that of Comic Book Hideout Incorporated. Copyright 2024. All rights reserved.